And my name is Joshua Craver, and I'm a graduate student at Purdue University. And today I'm going to be talking about some research titled Daily Light Integral and Light Quality from Sole Source Light Emitting Diodes Affects Seedling Quality and Subsequent Flowering of Long Day Bedding Plant Species. So I'd like to start out with a little background, and I'm sure at this point in the conference we are all pretty aware of what LEDs are. But LEDs are becoming an increasingly popular alternative to more traditional lighting sources, and there are many benefits to using LEDs, and these include their energy efficiency, they have a very low output of radiant heat, and also with these LEDs we're obviously able to select very specific qualities of light to elicit specific morphological or physiological responses within the plant. Now, one of the areas where we're finding that LEDs are becoming increasingly popular are all these multi-layer vertical production systems. And one of the reasons why we're seeing these become so popular is because with these systems, we're able to really maximize our space for the production of a specific crop, but also we're able to produce a high-quality crop consistently throughout the year, so we don't have any issues with environmental changes like we normally would in the greenhouse. So seasonally, we're not impacted with those season changes. So one of the crops that we were wanting to look at for one of these multi-layer vertical production systems was bedding plants, specifically looking at the production of bedding plant seedlings or plugs. And so before I start talking about the production, I think it's important to really talk about what we mean by a quality plug, because we're really wanting to produce a high quality crop in these types of systems. So a quality plug is going to be one that is very compact, that has a very large stem caliper, that has a high amount of dry mass, and this includes both shoot dry mass as well as root dry mass. And we're also looking for a plug that has a very small amount of leaf area, so we do want them to be, again, very compact. So at Purdue University, we've recently done some research looking at producing these high-quality plugs in sole-source lighting environments, and we found that we absolutely can, but it came with some limitations. We had a few problems. Specifically, the problems that we had was with species with a long-day photoperiodic response. What we found was that as we were producing these plants under sole source lighting environments using just red and blue LEDs, we found that as we transitioned these plants out of the sole source lighting environment and placed them into a finishing environment in the greenhouse, that there was a delay in flowering. Specifically, we found that there was a delay in flowering when we compared them to plants that were grown under simply supplemental lighting. And so from this research, we developed a new hypothesis, and specifically we were wanting to look at whether young day plants grown under LED sole source lighting providing far red light would help us to prevent this delay in flowering and potentially alleviate that delay that we were finding. So specifically for this research, we developed a couple of objectives. First and foremost, we were wanting to quantify the effect of far red light and not only look at the effects that far red light would have on this delay in flowering that we were noticing, but also look at what effects this far red light would also have on the quality of seedlings that we were producing within these growth chambers. Additionally, we wanted to quantify the effect that the light intensity or the daily light integral would have on not only this quality of seedlings that we were producing in the sole source environment, but again, if it would also affect that delay in flowering that we were noticing. So for this study, we selected three species, all with a long day photoperiodic response. These species were petunia, pansy, and coreopsis, and you can see examples of each of these in the bottom of this slide. And so we conducted all of these experiments in a walk-in environmental growth chamber. And in this growth chamber, we established a 16-hour photoperiod. We had a constant air temperature of 21 degrees Celsius. We had a day-night relative humidity set point of 70 and 80%, and we also had a CO2 set point of 500 micromoles per mole. In terms of actually producing these seedlings, we produced them in 288-cell plug trays, and we supplied them with 100 milligrams per liter of nitrogen. Now, in terms of the actual lighting treatments, like I mentioned back on the hypothesis and objective slides, we were wanting to look not only at the light intensity, but also at the light quality that we were providing these plants. So for the light quality specifically, we used three different modules provided by Philips. These were the Green Power LED production modules. And the three modules we were using were a red-blue module with 87% red, 13% blue, a red far-red blue module with 84% red, 7% far-red, and 9% blue, and then we also included a red-green-blue module. And this had 74% red, 18% green, and 8% blue. And so you may be asking, why did you include that red-green-blue module at the end? And it really has to do with what we're defining this module as, which is our red-white module. So we're finding that many growers do prefer having these green wavelengths included in the spectrum simply because it allows them to look at the plants more clearly because it does give off that perception of white light. So they're able to look at watering the plants more easily, as well as more easily decipher whether there are pest or disease issues. Now, in addition to the light quality, like I mentioned, we also wanted to look at the light intensities. So we had three different target daily light integrals that we were looking at. These were 6, 12, and 18 moles per meter squared per day that we were evaluating, and we were able to achieve these simply by increasing the number of modules that we had within each of our treatments. So ultimately, when you take into account the three different light qualities that we were looking at, as well as the three different light intensities, when we take those into combination, we had a total of 9 different treatments that we were able to evaluate. And you can see the spectra output for each of these 9 different treatments in this figure below. So continuing on with the materials and methods, for the seedlings, we, after germination, placed them into these light treatments, and we evaluated them at 14, 21, and 28 days after we initiated these treatments. Some of the measurements that we were wanting to look at were obviously stem elongation, stem caliper, leaf area, and root and shoot dry mass. And for this study, we did replicate it 3 times over a period of time. So starting off with Pansy, what I'd first like to point out is that we do have a figure located here at the bottom, and I will be using this consistently throughout the remainder of the presentation. And so with these figures, I have sectioned them into the 3 different DLIs of 6, 12, and 18. And then within each of these DLIs, I have our 3 different light qualities of red-blue, red-far red-blue, and red-white. And then below each of these, you can see that I have our means as well as the mean separations. And these mean separations were based on a pairwise comparison using Tukey's HSD test. And the seedling data that I'll be presenting today was taken at 28 days after we initiated these lighting treatments. So starting off with the pansy, what I'd first like to point out is that we had effects in stem elongation. Specifically, as we increased our DLI from 6 to 18, you'll notice that we had a decrease in that amount of stem elongation. Additionally, when we look at light quality, we found that we had an increase in stem elongation when we included that far red light into the spectrum. Specifically, this increase in stem elongation occurred under the red far red blue treatment with a DLI of 6. And so you can see that we had a significant increase under our red far red blue treatment compared to our red white in this case. Now looking at stem caliper, we found some of the similar trends. Specifically that as we increased our DLI, we had a significant increase in our stem caliper. So ultimately, when we start to look at the stem elongation as well as the stem caliper together, we're finding that under these DLIs of 18, we're having seedlings that are more compact and that are also shorter. And so this is very beneficial for shipping as well as for transplant. Looking at the root dry mass, it's pretty straightforward that as we're increasing our DLI, we're actually increasing that root dry mass. And from this picture here, it becomes very evident as you look at that incremental increase. And this was absolutely the same for the shoot dry mass as well, that as we were increasing that DLI, we were finding an increase in the shoot dry mass. Now I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk about petunia, but instead of starting with the stem elongation, I would like to show you the leaf area results for petunia because they are pretty interesting. Specifically, we found that under a higher DLI, we had a decreased leaf area. And so obviously under those lower DLIs of 6, you'll notice very easily that we did have that increased leaf elongation, that increased leaf area. And this became even more prevalent when we looked at the red, far red, blue treatment. So specifically under this DLI of 6, you'll notice that we have the greatest amount of leaf area under that red, far red, blue treatment compared to the red, blue specifically. And so we do expect that to occur with that increased far red light. We are going to have the increased stem elongation as well as that increased leaf area. Now, in terms of stem caliper, we found results that were very similar to what we saw with Pansy. Specifically, as we're increasing that DLI, we are increasing the stem caliper. But we did find light quality effects as well, specifically that the red, far red, blue treatment was, again, causing larger values. Specifically, in this case, we had increased stem caliper, again, under the red, far red, blue treatment, specifically under this DLI of 6 compared to the red, blue. And then lastly, looking at root dry mass, we again found very similar results that as we increased the DLI, you'll notice very easily that we increased that root dry mass. And the same was true for the shoot dry mass, that as we're increasing that DLI, we're obviously increasing the shoot dry mass as well. So moving on, obviously that was only part of the research that we were wanting to look at. We were also wanting to look at that transfer into the greenhouse and see if there was still that delay in flowering that we were noticing. So for this portion of the study, we selected 5 seedlings from each of our treatments and transplanted them both at 21 and 28 days after these treatments were initiated. And again, we placed them into a common finishing environment where we had a photoperiod of 16 hours. We had a DLI set point of 10 to 12 moles per meter squared per day, and we achieved these target DLIs using a supplemental light provided by HPS lamps. We also had a target air temperature of 20 degrees Celsius, and we then fertilized the plants with 200 milligrams per liter nitrogen. So looking really quickly just at the pansy flowering, what you'll notice is on the right here, I have a very similar figure to what you saw on the previous slides for the seedling data. But instead, I have our DLI listed here on the rows of 6, 12, and 18. And for our columns, we have our light qualities of red-blue, red-far-red-blue, and red-white. So specifically, what I would like you to look at first is just this DLI of 18, because what we found was that plugs that were produced under this red-far-red-blue light actually flowered approximately 7 days earlier than those that were produced under the red-blue or the red-white on average. So what we were supposing in that hypothesis was absolutely found to be true, that we can help to alleviate that delay in flowering simply by producing these plugs under far-red light. We found very similar results for those that were produced under the DLIs of 12 or 6, but these results were not nearly as pronounced as those that we did see under those higher DLIs. And so ultimately, in conclusion, what we found is that we can produce higher quality plugs under higher DLIs. Specifically, we found that we can get decreased stem elongation, we can get the increased stem caliper, decreased leaf area, and increased root and shoot dry mass. So overall, by producing these plants under this DLI of 18, we were able to get very compact, very sturdy plugs. Now, like you were seeing in the results, there were some light quality effects, but these seemed to not be nearly as predictable as what we saw with the DLI. Specifically, we did see typically higher values under our red, far red, blue LEDs with the DLI of 6. Specifically, we saw higher stem calipers occasionally, we saw higher stem elongation, but this did seem to be very variable. So in terms of producing that quality plug, it seems that DLI is going to be a little bit better of an indicator as to how we can get a nice compact plug. In terms of earlier flowering, we did find that pansy flowered earlier when we produced those plugs under the red, far red, blue LEDs, especially when we produced them under those high DLIs, specifically the DLI of 18. However, unfortunately, I didn't show the results for petunia or coreopsis, and we didn't find that those results were nearly as pronounced as what we saw in pansy. There were some significant results in terms of the far red LEDs, but again, not nearly as pronounced as what we saw with the pansy species. So with that, I would like to acknowledge the many people that made this research possible. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you very much.
Yes? I noticed on your vertical system that you reported average air temperature. That you have it on a stack vertical system, we know there's a temperature gradient from the bottom to the top. Were you able to quantify that temperature gradient and see if there were any differences?
Right. So his question was, we did have this system set up on a vertical treatment, and so he was wondering if we had any differences in temperature gradient between those treatments or if we were able to account or calculate for those. And the answer is we did not take temperature measurements within each of those treatments. We had a Priva box inside of the growth chamber that we were collecting the environmental data. We did, however, randomize our treatments at the beginning of every run. So if there was a temperature gradient, we were hoping through that randomization, we were able to account for some of that variability that would occur.
How many reps?
We had 3 repetitions over time. Yes.
So longer DLI produces better plugs, but it costs more because you're using more energy. Did you have to start to look at the economics for your
Absolutely. So I figured that would have been a question that would be asked. So I did provide a slide. So we have done some research looking at simply how much electricity these are pulling. And what we found was that the light qualities didn't play much of an effect. But in terms of the light intensities, it absolutely had an effect. Specifically, as we increased the number of because to get those target DLIs, we had to increase the number of modules that we were putting in each of these treatments. So you can see that we have an incremental increase of, we go from 1.03 to 3.1 as we go from 6 to 18. So in terms of the energy that it's costing us to have those higher DLIs, yes, it's absolutely more costly. And so there really is a trade-off in deciding you can produce a higher quality plug under the higher DLIs, but you are certainly going to pay more for it. So if I were to give a recommendation to a grower, I would certainly say that target of around a DLI of 12 is probably going to be more economically feasible than hitting the plants with 18. Yeah, one more question. Dr. Ruckel.
Do you have a sense of the temperature of the plants? Would you think they were warmer under the higher DLI? Might that have contributed to the faster flowering?
Yes. So his question was, did I take measurements of the temperature of the plant, or did I have an idea of what the temperature of the plant was under those higher DLIs, and would that I have attributed to the faster flowering? And I think absolutely. There was a slight temperature difference, I believe, under those higher DLIs because, again, we did have more modules and we were supplying more light to those plants. Could that have attributed to the flowering? Absolutely. And so I think that really trying to fine-tune this experiment in the future, not only looking at different far-red ratios, but also trying to better quantify that temperature gradient would be absolutely helpful in helping us to decipher, was it solely the far red that was attributed to the flowering, or were there some of these other variables such as temperature that had a role? All right, so thank you very much.